Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. This is Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden. Truth Straight Up. Supposed to be a snow day, but it didn't snow.
No. Okay, where am I thinking? Chuck says it didn't snow. Okay, Rev and I spent like 2 hours out shoveling sidewalks and cars
and things like that. It snowed last night, but it's still snowing.
No, don't. You guys don't ever get your weather from Chuck. False information. Fake news. Rev is home on a snow day, though.
He predicted it.
Yeah.
Early when the first snowflakes fell, it was a snow day.
Hey, this is Chuck and Julie. Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. You can get all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com, also at bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie Show. Follow us on Twitter, the Chuck and Julie Show, Facebook. We're all over the place. We'd love to have you subscribe, get our newsletter. And if you want to be a paying subscriber, we really appreciate all that too. Dave Williams coming on at the bottom of the hour, to talk about, it kind of ties in with the Johns Hopkins study that showed, the lockdowns were a complete waste of time. But they had in terms of preventing COVID deaths, but they were devastating in other areas. And Dave is pushing for a bill after he was contacted by a guy whose wife died alone in the hospital because they wouldn't let him go see her during COVID. That would require hospitals to do that they couldn't just say, no, you can't have visitors. We'll talk to him about that. Fun today, fun stuff, although kind of serious too. Jeff Zucker from CNN.
That's fun.
Gone. Well, there's fun. I want to talk a little bit about it seriously though. But Chuck was, after I came in from shoveling the snow, you got exhausted. And you said, hey, Jeff Zucker resigned. I'm like, I know. So apparently Jeff Zucker was having an affair when it started, whether it started when he was married and she was married or not, who knows?
Just recently, as one does, because
of COVID. They blame COVID for it.
COVID did it to them.
For some reason. But you know what I wanted to talk about is, number one, good. I think Donald Trump is right. Sleazy, toxic guy. Good thing he's gone. But we had a guy, John Connor, on our show, and he talked about how when bureaucracies or organizations are corrupt at the top, it becomes corrupt all the way through.
Fish rots in the head.
And I think that's exactly what clearly was going on at CNN. I mean, let's just look at the scandals. So you've got Jeff Zucker, who not only is he having an affair and lying about it, but she's she's a subordinate, but she was a colleague basically, so she was pretty high up. But according to some of the rumors out there and people who seem to know, he was bringing her up to the ranks of promoting her above other people, right? And you might say, well, CNN's a big place, people have affairs, but I argue no, CNN is a toxic, immoral, lack of ethics, corrupt organization. Probably from the top on down.
She was just doing the traditional sleeping her way to the top.
Well, exactly. But there was somebody. You've got Jeff Zucker. You have Chris Cuomo with his whole ethical issues, covering his brother, using his position at CNN to try to dig up dirt on the victims in that case, and his own sexual misconduct issues. You've got the two producers. These are terrible. Who they got rid of for grooming and allegations, horrific allegations of child sex assault. You've got Don Lemon, who's being sued for sexually assaulting somebody.
Another guy.
And then you have the whole Jeffrey Toobin thing, masturbating while he's on a Zoom call. And, you know,
which is good for a suspension.
Yeah, that only gets you. Well, but nowadays. So, I mean, one could, in the meantime, too, CNN's ratings are down 74%.
How can they go down anymore?
If they
weren't on at airports, they wouldn't be on at all.
And I don't even think they're on at airports anymore.
Somebody said, hey, Kamala Harris did the same thing. Exactly right.
Yeah, maybe she'll be there. Fake news is over. Zucker is out. Okay. And this, just an aside, on a different topic, Jacob, thank you for this information. We talked about neighborhood activist Larry Ambrose, who died recently. And Jacob says you can watch his funeral on the Feldman Mortuary website. Right. So they're going to live stream that for people who he was a great guy, but I would argue at CNN though, what was going on there. And, you know, we played the soundbite with them earlier this week where they were talking about, they were enlightened, right? And right, they were the enlightened people and the rest of us, they couldn't understand why the rest of us didn't look, you know,
they have entire newsrooms, health departments, everything. And we don't seem to, listen to them.
No, we don't seem to listen to them. And I think though, so they're enlightened, but they're corrupt. I mean, there is no morals, no ethics, no standards there of anything. And they're a typical example, and this is why no one listens to me anymore, of how these enlightened elites think, well, people, you know, the rules don't apply to them. They don't have to wear masks. They don't have to, you know, follow sexual assault rules. They can do whatever they want, and it's catching up with them. But you got to wonder how you clean up a mess like that. And we got Iggy on line four. So, hey, Iggy, thank you for calling in.
Comrades, it's been a while.
It has. Hey, I got your message the other day, too. Thank you for that.
Okay, well, that's what I'm calling about.
Okay.
Because this is on my mind, and I'm really pissed off about it because of,
okay.
I'm always interested in children, and what is being done to our children is just absurd. It's not even in reality. So before, I'm going to mention a name, and I hope not everybody gets pissed off, but Dan Crenshaw has a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't seem to like him. I don't know why, but it's a good podcast.
I know why people don't like him.
Okay, Mick, go ahead.
Well, that's fine. I like the podcast. So okay. He's had addressed the transgendered stuff, and he's had two people on. One person is Scott Nugent, and it's a female who's become a male. And he likes to talk about all this. It just hasn't gone well for him. He has a lot of regrets over it, and a lot of medical problems. And another person he's had on is Kara Dansky. And Kara Dansky is a lefty lawyer who used to be in the ACLU, is no longer in. And she's the most informative. In fact, she's come with a book about what a scam all this transgender stuff is. And I would encourage people to listen or look them up online and find out about it. And there's also a blog called the 11th Hour blog, which is another lefty who is exposing a lot of this crap in the transgendered narrative. So,
well, I think that here again, to me, besides the obvious issues involving children and letting them make decisions that consequential, toddlers, basically, and you have parents who are jumping. I mean, have you noticed every Hollywood celebrity has a transgender child now, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you just don't get invited to the parties anymore if you don't. But I think that it goes further, sort of like Apple coming out with the pregnant man emoji. Although I was laughing, somebody said, no, that's just after he ate at Chipotle. Mm-hmm. They lie to us, Iggy, and that 2 + 2 = 5, say it, Wilson, from 1984, right? They want us to go ahead and acknowledge their lies, and they're trying to, then they use civil rights and that kind of stuff to shove it down our throats, and they try to say men can't so get pregnant, and they just want us to acknowledge lies, because then when they lie to us all the other stuff, like masks and COVID, and no, we're not censoring you, and inflation isn't bad, and there's no soft on crime, when they lie to us about that,
every tomboy that's ever been and you transform them into the other sex, you know, that's not really a happy event. And that's what they're pushing on. You're a tomboy. Therefore, you really think you're a male. So why don't we just go ahead and attach things to you, cut your breasts off. Just it'll be great for you. It'll turn out just wonderful. You know, for some people, when they get 21 and they want to go gender reassignment, well, go do it.
I agree with you as far as the age, if that's what they want to do. But so these people are also pointing out there's a big corporate industry behind this now pushing it. Okay. There's not really any science behind it. These are the people always talking about the science, but the corporate industries are really pushing for it. Look at Planned Parenthood. I mean, they don't have enough women to treat anymore, so I guess they're going to make more. And you know, they are a woman's health organization. So what's it got to do with making men into women? I don't get it.
But, yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of like wheels within wheels, as I say, about this kind of thing. I think another part of it is taking away parental rights, right? And you have, where you have teachers telling kids, they have secret clubs like they had in California, where they tell kids, oh, you're transgender, right? And but don't tell your parents. I mean, there's so many things. They want us to say things that we know aren't true and be forced to acknowledge them. They want to take away your parental right to say to your kid, you know, let's talk about this, and, yeah. you know, and yeah, instead well, they don't want to do that. And you're right. Then there's corporations that are making a ton of money. And then you look at the criminality. You look at the what the case in California where the judge, so it was there was a person who was technically a juvenile, and it was a transgender person sexually assaulted a child, right? And then the judge is putting this adult now in a juvenile facility. It's
that'll
like,
work well.
It doesn't work that way. You don't get to go to a juvenile facility when you're an adult. But I mean, look, can you, and the endangerment to the other children, it's like juvenile facilities aren't dangerous enough for kids. And, but they're pushing stuff like that. And it's just, you know, well, and they're trying to say like that one guy who was like, you know, well, pedophilia, there's nothing wrong with pedophilia, right? They can't help it. It's
having a murderous rage. You can't.
I mean, like go to back to what I was saying with CNN, right? There's no morality. There are no ethics. There's no integrity. And they're just enlightened, Iggy. So the rest of us have to put up with it, I guess.
Well, there's two criminals in Washington state who were passing themselves off as transgendered females to males. One of them raped a 10-year-old girl in a bathroom, and the other one did, I don't know what else, it was somewhat violent thing toward women. And they both got their way into a woman's jail.
Yeah.
So they're both serving time in a woman's jail, which is pretty odd. So, but I have to agree with you on the parental rights thing. That's been a big thing with me for quite some time, because when I've done my volunteer work with mental illness, with parents, with children, are mentally ill, you know, when they're 15. So you got a schizophrenic kid who's 15 who has to live with you by law, who are you responsible mm-hmm. for, but you can't get a hold of their medical records. You can't talk to a therapist. You can't talk to understand
wow.
anything, but the teacher sure can, or the whoever
yeah.
else is involved. Right. But
yeah.
the parents are locked out. So
no.
I guess I've said enough, but this is certainly if anybody out there is interested in checking those people out, do it.
All right. Thanks, Iggy.
All right. Thank
Appreciate
you, Iggy.
It.
Hey, we've got Sherry
right.
from Lakewood calling. Hey, Sherry, let me, before you go, the number 888-627-6008.
Everybody's calling in with the snow.
Yeah, 627-6008. Hey, Sherry, thank
hey, Sherry.
You for calling.
Hi. You know, it sounds like the subject is on children, so I did want to actually make a comment a little bit.
Okay.
In ancient times, the prevailing science was that a child needed to be sacrificed so the other children could be protected. So the ancient priests convinced parents to offer their children to Moloch and Baal so that by appeasing Moloch and Baal, they would secure their other children's futures. So if you think about it, the best solution to the threat of Mother Nature in ancient times was to destroy your child by burning them up in order to protect your other children. Well, look at what we're doing today. Modern scientists claim to be the sole salvation against nature gone wild. So our doctors and our scientists have concluded that the benefits of experimental vaccines outweigh the risk of children getting COVID-19, even though it's basically 0% chance of it
right.
causing a death in a child.
Right.
So Americans have accepted more harm to children in exchange for less harm to adults, I guess.
Yes.
The
right.
sacrifice,
yes.
it's like the same attitude of sacrificing their children to Moloch.
Yeah,
and
now
that's
child,
a good point.
That's a good analogy.
That's
child
good,
sacrifice, it's still going on today, not just like abortions, but people's eyes have been opened to child trafficking, to satanic ritual abuse. Children are sacrificed for their blood used to stop aging, the aging process. And their pineal glands, they harvest them for adrenochrome. I mean, you look at what's going on today with kids, and then, you, like, we're so far advanced from sacrificing
them. And look at who Tay Anderson, that sleazebag Denver Public School Board member, says if Denver lists the mask mandates for kids, he's going to he's a school board member, is going to try to make it a rule that it's part of a uniform code that kids have to wear masks. Now, that science doesn't have anything to do with it, right? He doesn't care. It's like you said, it's like no one else has to wear a mask, but no, the kids have to wear a mask. And why do they have to wear a mask, right? For what reason? And you're right, Sherry, it's what we're doing to our kids is atrocious these days.
Well, we're sacrificing them for adult teachers who claim that they've got COVID from them.
Yeah, it's insane.
And please look at what Fauci, you know, you guys have mentioned the Beagles, and I might have missed, I don't know if you mentioned, but when old Fauci was doing his experiments on the hundreds of AIDS orphans in New York City hospitals, these were orphans. These were
That's
kids
right.
that were wards of the state.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey,
it's
Sherry,
disgusting.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Hey, this is a good point from Mark Timon. Quit saying transgender. It is made up. It doesn't exist in reality. There are only two genders. Big pharma and surgeons are pushing it to make money. Read the book. It's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. This from Jacob. This is the first time in this country that the kids have had to pay with their lives to save the adults. And then Barney says, don't forget Christopher Reeves. No problem with embryonic stem cells. So yeah, it's Kara Dansky's book. I've seen her on Tucker Carlson. Hey, and so Dave Williams is coming up at 3:30, but in the meantime, I know we got a ton of people on Zoom. If you want to go ahead and unmute yourself, feel free to do that to comment on this. We started talking about Jeff Zucker, but we've kind of transitioned into.
Well, we can also go on to Whoopi Goldberg. It's the same thing, good old Whoopi. Now, we were canceled because I made a one-line joke saying this telecast of the impeachment hearing is so boring that I wish something would interrupted like a school shooting where no one got hurt. And that was good to get you fired. Whoopi Goldberg goes on for 40 minutes on how Jews aren't really a different race. And technically she's right. They're an ethnicity, but they're not.
But they were trying to wipe them off the face of the earth. Well, here's the thing.
Well, she says there's only one. And
well, the only
frankly,
race that matters is black.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants them to be the only one. I mean, I suppose the Armenians have nothing to complain about because they are ethnically related to the Turks who slaughtered all of them.
Right.
And that's really, it was her way of saying, you know, the only harms are the harms to my race and not to anybody else. But that was hardly the most outrageous thing she's ever said. And they suspended her for 2 weeks.
It's been kind of funny watching them eat their own. Like I said, you know, with Jeff Zucker being out at CNN, you got to wonder, there's been a lot of talk about, are they going to rearrange things and try to go back to being, you know, not the complete piece of garbage that they are. But that's what I was saying too. I mean, I think you still have this culture there that where there was just this, everything was corrupt. There was no ethics. You know, they were enlightened. So the elites and the rest of us had to follow the rules and we had to listen to them. Of course, they didn't have to follow the rules. They could and did whatever they wanted, but we're supposed to listen to them because they're enlightened somehow. It's that arrogance, but I think it's not just them. It's in Hollywood. It's in the Biden administration. It's all kind of part and parcel of this same just lack of, there's no moral compass in a lot of these organizations that are trying to control us. And fortunately, people are waking up. Sherry says, we're sacrificing our kids.
There's never been any kind of moral corpus. I mean, you can just look at Boris Johnson, who really locked down the entire country. I mean, he locked it down so tight. You can't even go outside. You could go outside and meet one person as long as you stayed 6 feet away from it. If there are two people, then that was it. And then he's just drinking it up, and they're all having parties in on 10 Downing Street. And then he'd be happy to lecture you on, we got to all sacrifice, we all for the better good and everything else. And I guess it is just human beings.
Well, the good news is nobody's watching CNN, right? The good news is that at a certain level, the evilness and the corruptness oozes out and people pick up on it. And maybe they don't actually say, oh, they're corrupted, that job. But you know, I just don't want to be part of that. This is from Karen Catalina. Hey, and Karen, feel free to unmute yourself if you want to comment, explain this further. Karen says, the motive for emasculating men is even more sinister than merely the money motive, unfortunately. Okay, Karen, either in the comments or if you want to unmute yourself and explain what you mean there. I think a lot of it has to do with getting rid of the whole families, right? Where you have...
Well, the patriarchy. Must get rid of the patriarchy.
It's all about the revolution. Hello?
Okay, hello, Karen.
Oh, Kathy. I heard a disemboweled voice from somewhere.
Oh, that's all right. People on
Zoom and what happened to Chuck's mustache?
I know. Chuck.
Well, I'm not Chuck. I'm Charles. I'm the younger brother.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. You look very different and quite distinguished.
Oh, I like it. I like it. So, yeah. Karen, what's your... We got another caller too. So, but get your comment just to explain the motive for emasculating men.
Well, everything we're seeing today that is contrary to American values, from the attack on the family, the attack on the culture, the attack on our defense systems, our cops, our energy production, all of it, is clear that there is a motive to that the bureaucracy is and these leftists see us as the enemy. Well, what are you going to do? I just got off the phone with a friend who's a specialist in the Second Amendment. And if you know that these bureaucrats have now turned against you, well, what are they going to do? They're going to disarm you, right? They're going to disarm you with your guns, but they're also going to disarm men, because men are the ones that defend the family. Men are the ones.
But they are going to provide him breasts, so that'll help.
You can get pregnant now, so that's a trade-off,
that's a
Karen.
Trade-off.
Yeah,
it's an attack on masculinity for a reason.
Yes,
God, I wish this wasn't true, and I wish that, you know, I just sound like a wackadoodle. But unfortunately, we are validated that this is what they're after all along. David Horowitz says all the time that it's always been about the revolution. It has always been about the socialist, communist, globalist, moving in that direction to disempower the public and empower themselves. And that's much more than just money.
No. All right. I agree with you on that. All right. Karen, thank you.
Appreciate
your perspective is always great.
Let's go to Rocco from Golden. Hey, Rocco.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Good. I remember not too long ago, a few decades ago, I'm old enough to remember that if a man wanted to be a woman or vice versa, they didn't do something so drastic and permanent as this gender reassignment nonsense. They basically just dressed up in the other person's clothes, and we called them transvestites. I'm not really sure what happened to that, but that seems like a less permanent situation. What do you think?
Well, you may notice that maybe the most famous, one of the most famous transgender, Caitlyn Jenner, has not castrated himself and get female gender. He's kind of she. Well, I don't know with male genitalia or she, but maybe you are. I mean, and so you have a lot of them who just want to go halfway. You know, get some hormones in there. The swimmer at Penn still has male genitals, and so she is saving her options, and quite frankly, I think they're smart, because most people, if you see those studies that go through the full transgender one, are often very sorry, and there's little way back without just even more destroying.
And
yourself.
I would think from some of the people or person I know who is transgender, just if to answer your question, Rocco, I think there are some people who would say that they want to have the full transition because they feel like that's who they are, right? And here's what I say. I'm like, God bless you if you want to do that. Like I said, if you're an adult and you want to do that and you think that's going to make you happy, then go for it, right? On the other hand, though, where it becomes crazy is that's such a small percentage of the population taking up so much space in culture anymore, right? And in, and it, where it's wrong is, again, where you start talking to kids about it and saying, you know, to a four-year-old who wants to play cowboy or something like that, that number one, they're racist, and number two, they have to change their sex. I mean, that's where it becomes, you know, I think a really big issue, and where it gets, where, like Karen Cataline says, it starts, and Iggy, it starts crossing all kinds of lines.
Well, it's too bad they couldn't just live as the opposite sex for one day, because a lot of them kind of go, wait a minute, this isn't all that great. Oh, hold it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. You know, it's body dysmorphia. It's a kind of body dysmorphia. If a man sees himself as a woman or vice versa, And you know, I'm looking at this from the standpoint of raising a teenage daughter, and she's inundated with the stuff and the culture in terms of the acceptance level that I just think they instinctively have adopted, which it would have just been strange to us. I'm around the same age as you guys.
Right.
It would have just been very strange to us. I mean, like I said, that was like we said, transvestite. That was about the most you could expect. From that, I guess it.
Well, that was a skill. At least that was a skill. You know, it took some imagination and artistry to come across as one. Now is just,
well,
we've surgical.
Explained it. We, you know, my wife and I have explained it to my daughter like this. I said, look at it like this. Do you accept anorexia? That's not healthy. That's all.
Right.
It's anorexia. It's a body dysmorphia, just like this. And it should not be accepted. I seem to recall that Trinidad used to be the sex change capital of the world. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, I don't know if it still is. I mean, every place
they
is now. They still have clinics. But I think you're right. What's distressing is, I mean, Rev is 10, and he knows what it is, right? It's all over on social media, and it's a kind of thing that's just prevalent. And I think it, again, it's the kind of thing that has to be kept in perspective, because what I worry about is, yes, it's good tolerance and, you know, letting people live their own lives, et cetera, all of that. That's good and sound, you know, well, but by the same token, so is being a little boy, right? Or being a little girl. So is saying, I want to play with trucks and I want to throw football. And no, I don't want to do arts and crafts. There's nothing wrong with that either. And I think that's where we try to make kids, hey, if you aren't, you know, you can't be in the secret club if you don't want to have a, you know, change.
Well, I mean, it's too bad that you can't just say, no, this is the preferred, this is much better, this is how you were born, this is everything else. And at the end of the day, if they're adults and they want to go off, that's great, but to do what they're doing to kids, I mean, they're, every kid in the world has wanted what to be the other sex for a day, but it isn't preferable. And so for us to keep them going, yeah, that's, oh, good, Johnny. And that's what they do.
Karen Cataline is saying this too. Karen Cataline is saying, you know, it's not instinctive. Rocco, public schools are teaching gender dysphoria. There's no boy, there's no girl. It's difficult for people to get their heads around the fact that this is child abuse and it's being done on purpose. And I agree with it. Hey, listen, Rocco, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Take care, Rocco.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Yeah, and the schools, and it goes back to, I think Karen Cataline has a point. It's about all kinds of things, right? Everybody's got their own agenda, but it's something that they're pushing, I think, like I said, partly to make us say, okay, a lie is truth. They want us to say, you can't talk about certain things. If you do, we're going to shame you and we're going to cancel you. We want to destroy the family. We want to destroy the typical things that make people independent and self-sufficient. We want everybody totally dependent on the government. Why do you think they're so crabby about, you know, the trucker convoy in Ottawa, right? And you had farmers bringing food, people raising the money, Facebook. Why would Facebook, there's no disinformation being spread.
Oh, of course.
They're protesting the mandates, right? Right?
That's misinformation.
That's true, right? And instead, Facebook deplatforms them. I was reading a thing. This is funny that, and I don't know if this is true. This is on Twitter, but in Ottawa, the Ottawa police are telling people to quit calling 911, asking where Trudeau is, reporting him missing.
I mean, he has really disgraced himself. He got on TV and he called them all bigots and Xenophon.
Well, and there was that one guy, the Fed, the plant, right, who had the flag, and they made him leave.
Right.
That we haven't seen the khaki pants people show up there right. yet, but I hope they do something like that here. Although I will say, at least, you know, in Colorado, in Adams County, where we live, and in Denver, they got rid of the mask mandate. You know, hopefully at Rev School, they're going to get rid of it.
Well, somebody up on our board indicated that Joy Reid got fired. And what move down? Can we just?
No, he was. I don't know. Hey, Jacob, is that new or? But we've heard Joe Reid is out. Zuckerberg's out. Zucker's out. Rachel Maddow's taking a vacation.
2 months off,
yeah, exactly. Well, they're all and their ratings are down 74% overall.
When Rachel Maddow goes away, then they'll really be in trouble because she's the she may be. Full of disinformation, Russia information, and all the BS in the world. But she's halfway entertaining and intelligent, unlike, you know, the rest of them are just unwatchable.
Right.
At least she's bizarrely watchable.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Hey, and Thomas, if you want to go ahead and call Dave Williams now, we can do that. We're going to switch gears a little bit, but only kind of, because again, it's the truth that is coming out. And they're having a harder and harder time, I think, the mainstream corporate media. They don't report any of this. Just like if you look, there's nothing about the Canadian convoy, truck convoy, and CNN or MSNBC or ABC. Nothing there. You're not seeing Associated Press stories about it. But you are starting to see more information come out. Alex Berenson does a great job on Substack about the adverse effects from the vaccines, mm-hmm. the fact that some of the studies coming out of other countries indicate that you are more likely to get sick from the new variants, from everything else. So all of that has come along. Do we have Dave yet, Thomas, or not yet? I heard somebody... Okay.
Coughing.
And so, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Johns Hopkins study that basically.
Well, that was an amazing study in which it said none of these measures. So, you know, we killed 43% of small businesses in Colorado during the lockdown.
Polis got richer.
Polis got a lot richer. And they said, no, the masks don't help. No lockdowns don't help. No, nothing they've done helped. Nothing. And so we've really destroyed God knows how much for nothing.
Right.
That's a shocking study. They say,
And Johns Hopkins, not exactly known for its conservative views, right?
Well, it used to be a great medical school. You never know what great means anymore, but yeah.
I don't know if it's true. I saw an article, this is from Stephen, where an embalmer found blood clots and worm-like objects in people who died. And gotten the jab. I think there's here's the thing that they're trying to put out all kinds of ban you from talking about this.
Right,
so it becomes so hard to know, like you said, Stephen, I don't know if it's true. It's so hard to know what's true or what's not true. But we have Dave Williams with us, Representative Dave Williams.
Who is running to replace Doug Lionborn in CD5.
Whatever it is. Hey, Dave, thank you for your time again. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So we were starting out, Dave, we were just talking about that new Johns Hopkins study that found that lockdowns had absolutely zero effect and zero impact on preventing COVID deaths. And in fact, had, according to the study, a, quote, devastating effect on the economy and society. And I saw that there is a YouTube video out there, and we're going to play a snippet of it. But it's like, you know, no one should die alone. It's a Colorado man who basically is endorsing you in your congressional race, saying you were trying to help him and other people who were going through this when no one would, when hospitals and places like that were not letting people get in to see their loved ones, you know, in hospice. And so people were dying alone. And I didn't realize this, that there was actually a bill that you were kind of trying to push through to make hospitals not do that. And
why don't you let him explain it?
Yeah. Too. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much summed it up. There was, you know, and it's still an ongoing experience where hospitals are having strict, you know, no visitor policies in place. And they've kind of relaxed a bit as we've gotten further away from the start of the COVID restrictions. But it's still an issue. And so Steve Ryder, he's the gentleman that, you know, experienced this tragic loss. And his wife wasn't even in the hospital for COVID. And they tested negative, both of them. And the hospital still wouldn't let him in. And consequently, she, you know, wasn't able to be surrounded by loved ones to recover. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the implication, I believe, Steve, that since, you know, she was dealing with ongoing health complications and the lack of, you know, having that human connection, she unfortunately passed away, because he believes had he been there, she would have lived. And what makes matters worse about it is that she ended up dying alone.
Right.
So this is something that we...
Well, let me play just, Dave, so people can see. This will break your heart, but let me play a little bit of, he's got a video on YouTube, but Thomas, if we could play the Die Alone video, please, too. This is a little snippet of what he has up.
But the hospital never budged. The day before Mother's Day, I got a call in the middle of the night that Elizabeth was bleeding in one of her lungs. They were moving her into ICU, and they told me, don't come up. I got a call a couple hours later. We think we've isolated it. Don't come up. On Mother's Day, we had a FaceTime conversation, and Elizabeth was one that never got depressed, but on this one, I couldn't even get her to smile. I dipped into my bag of almost 20 years of tricks to get her to laugh, and when I couldn't, our conversation turned to, what if this is the one you don't come home from? Those aren't the kinds of conversations you should have over FaceTime. Sadly, on May 19th, 2020, Elizabeth died when a blood clot hit her lungs. She died of a pulmonary embolism. I wasn't allowed into the hospital until my wife was dead, despite numerous pleas. When I got home that night, I broke the news to our boys. My oldest was 15 at the time. He just sat there on the couch. He sat and sat, and after about 10 to 15 minutes, I put my arm around him and I said, "What's going on in there?" And I tapped his chest. He said, "Dad, I'm equal parts sad, equal parts pissed. Because the last 3 weeks of my mama's life were stolen from me." How many people have had those last moments stolen from them? How many people died as a consequence of the way in which we shut down?
Yeah, too many. I know, Dave, my aunt died, and the family only, you had to be on a list, and only one person at a time could go see her. And my cousin, she's in Florida, and my cousin is firmly convinced that everything that went wrong with her, and she didn't die of COVID, by the way, didn't have COVID, neither did any of them. But my cousin feels like, Steve, that if they could have had family there surrounding her, she would have been able to pull through. It's just, and what? And so the Democrats killed your bill, right? And Paula said, nope, not going to sign it, right?
Well, yeah. So Steve was, you know, righteously, you know, angered by all this. And so he worked with his representative to go ahead and put the bill forward. But the Democrats watered it down because of the hospital association, because the hospital association, they love it. They love not having to deal with, you know, visitors. They just really want to have this cold and callous, you know, way of treating patients. So they watered it down, and I said, the hell with that. We're going to go ahead and try to fight for this, because it makes absolute sense to let people have loved ones, you know, surrounding them in the hospital. And so we fought, and, you know, it was a good fight, but we didn't have the numbers. And I think there were a few Democrats that ended up voting with us, but it wasn't enough to overcome the numbers ultimately that they had. So the amendment that I ran to try and get it to what Steve wanted ultimately failed. And then it was, you know, as that video will tell you, it was more or less a recommendation, something that was ceremonial, and it was signed in private, despite, you know, Governor Polis's promise to, you know, make a spectacle out of it. So it's a heartbreaking story. It really is. My hat's off to Steve, because he didn't let this get him down. He started his own nonprofit, the Never Alone Project. And he's pushing not only in this state, but in other states around the country to make sure that there's at least, you know, one visitor, you know, per patient, you know, and make sure that they're screened so that there's no transmission of COVID or anything else like that. But essentially one visitor a day. And that's not a lot to ask for. That's the huge.
No, well, and what were people's reasons for voting against this? Where they're like, look, you know, we want people, you know, not enough people are dying out there right now. We want people to die alone and scared and afraid with their families heartbroken at home. I mean, what would be a possible reason to not vote for this?
Because they're annoying. Well, it's annoying.
There were no good reasons. The only thing that was, I think, mentioned was that you know, we have to protect, you know, the frontline workers, and we don't have enough protective gear, you know, for them to wear, especially in the higher risk, you know, units. And, yeah, I mean, it wasn't really good. It really wasn't a good excuse, because if you don't have COVID, then you're probably fine. So,
right. Well, and well, as we all know, you're going to get COVID anyway, right? So it's
well, you could just ask Randy Corcoran.
Right.
He brought his wife in, and, you know, because of playing football and then rugby till I was almost 30, I've had every shoulder, every joint replaced. And if you don't have an advocate, a friend, a wife, a parent, and so forth, bad things can happen to you. Really bad. I mean, I had one who the nurse decided she put
they're trying to say you had diabetes.
Yeah, they claimed I had diabetes, and then they tried to put a machine on my leg, except they inversed it, so they're twisting the leg off. I mean, they do awful things in hospitals. Some of them are great, some are wonderful. But I tell you, if you go to a hospital, you have to have a patient advocate, and that isn't the staff, and that isn't the doctors. And they hate it. They hate when Randy Corcoran goes, no, she's going to die unless you give her some painkillers, because she's starting to hyperventilate. And they want to shut up. But he finally got one doctor who would listen, and he saved his wife's life. But it's the healthcare industry has taken a huge hit for COVID. And I think taking back patients' rights, and your bill would have been a great start for that.
Well, it's a must, and I think you hit the nail on the head. These loved ones, you know, need to be able to be with their family members in the hospital, because they're the ones that best know, you know, the medical preferences, you know, of those right. of those patients, and they need to be in there to advocate for them. And I think that's, you know, really what's going on here. Hospitals don't want to have to deal with the hassle, because they think they know. Right. Better than the people they're treating, and so
they hate the fact that you may notice that they malpracticed, and you know they put the machine on the inverse way. Now, if no one's there, then no one notices, and it's your fault,
right? And Dave, Charlene is saying everything you're saying here is true. Just a couple of comments here. Stephen is saying hospitals have a financial incentive from the governor for COVID patients. That's true, including putting them on a ventilator. Well, Dave, but fortunately, down at the state legislature, we're not dealing with that this year, but we do have a bill in there that's going to make sure that we don't get extra soy sauces and burden restaurants. I mean, what the heck is going on with the Democrats, with everything else going on in the world? It's like, just tell them you don't want the freaking soy sauce or ketchup packet. You know, it's ridiculous.
People are literally dying, and they want to focus on all sorts of things that really, really have no effect on anyone's life, other than, you know, the intended consequence of making things inconvenient. You know, you can't have a soy packet. Soy sauce packet, but you know, hey,
well,
we're gonna make sure.
Right. Well, the crazy thing about that is they want to make it a law, right? It's not as if they haven't done enough to try to destroy small businesses in the restaurant industry. It's like, I know, let's pass another law so that they can't toss in. You have to ask everybody, do you want sauce with that? You know, I mean, it's just crazy. And like you said, they're ignoring stuff that matters, it seems to me.
Well, when leaders fail, when politicians certainly fail, people die. And this is a great example, unfortunately, not a great example, an unfortunate example of that very notion. People are dying, and no one should ever have to die alone. And, you know, furthermore, no politician should be given empty promises to Steve. I encourage your listeners to go watch the entirety of that video, because it's not just, you know, the Democrats in the legislature. It's Governor Polis and even Congressman Lamborn. You know,
right. Yeah, I heard Kent Lamborn did nothing.
Well, that's what. Yeah, just so folks know, Steve, the gentleman in the video, is endorsing Dave because he says Dave actually helped. Dave actually tried to do something. He said he talked to Lamborn. Lamborn, you know, talked to him, but didn't really do anything. And then it just kind of went by the wayside. And I think you're right, David. This is my boost for you, but saying that's why we need people like you in Congress, in the legislature, who will actually do something and not, you know, talk about the stuff that matters and actually do things to help people with some of the most important issues going on in their lives.
Well, you know, Dave was a great backer of the liberating Republican primaries. And I'm not sure if you saw it, but an Aspen publication urging all people in the
unaffiliated voters
to vote for Don Corum, who's down at the state capitol.
Who's challenging Lauren Boebert.
Lauren Boebert. And it's just, and that's going to be more and more. And the Republican Party.
They did is they told them then switch back to being a Democrat. They said, this is an editorial in the Aspen Times. It said, all of you unaffiliated voters and Denver Democrats, hint, hint, change your affiliation, vote in the Republican primary to get rid of Lauren Boebert. And then they point out, then you can just really quickly change back for the general election.
During the state, this is a quick story I'll tell you. At the State of the State address where Governor Polis was there, he was shaking hands down the center aisle. He saw Don Corum right there. He shakes his hand, and then he realizes who he's actually shaking hands with. And he stops for a brief moment, points at him, and says, good luck. So he knows that Don is running against him, and he fully supports him taking out Lauren Boebert. So I can't stress this enough, ladies and gentlemen. Don Corum has been endorsed, in my mind, by Governor Jared Polis. And I've already, I shot a text off to Lauren saying, hey, watch out. You know, when we talked about the opt-out, we talked about Unite Colorado spending in primaries. Right. And this is absolutely necessary as to why we should have done the opt-out. But now here we go. Millions of dollars are going to be pumped into that race against Lauren on behalf of Don. And that is the danger.
And they were like, no, and they still say, oh no, we had the gold standard election, blah blah blah. And it's like, oh, but if you've got editorial editors of newspapers, the Aspen Times,
I think it was Aspen Daily News.
You're right, Aspen Daily News. Sorry, I didn't mean to slander Aspen Times. Aspen Daily News just flat out telling people to do this, to go vote not for somebody that they like, but to vote specifically to get rid of Lauren Boebert, and then go in the general election and vote for the Democrat. It's crazy. And you're right. I mean, he has Polis's endorsement. Otherwise, why would Polis be saying good luck?
Yeah, he doesn't say that a lot to people when he's just shaking their hand casually, I'm telling you. And there's a kind of a video of it. The problem is that the mask is obstructing it. You can't lip read it. But I heard it because I was, I was very close because of my position on the floor. I heard him say good luck. So he's endorsing Don.
Unfortunately, Lauren Boebert, I think, is doing well. But you're right. They're going to pull out in her race, and they're going to be other races, too, pull out all the stops to get their candidates through. So, well, speaking of that, then, Dave, I know you've got a lot of stuff going on. Why don't you tell folks, how is your campaign going? How can people find out more and help?
You bet. The campaign's going well. Got a lot of positive response. We're making the case, and there are a lot of people that don't understand that Lamborn has not voted like he's promised. He's not a conservative, right? So when anyone has this question, well, why are you running? Always ask yourselves, follow the money. Look at his voting record. Don't worry about these ratings that he'll put out there. Actually look at the bills themselves and what they do. Right. And right. Since we've been doing that, we've been gaining traction. And so I'd encourage your listeners to go to daveforcolorado.com. That's D-A-V-E-F-O-R, Colorado.com. Help us out. We're going to get to Washington, and we're going to start kicking some ass.
There you go.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much. Dave Williams, appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Okay.
Well, let me read a couple of these things. Right. Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene have huge targets on them. Marjorie Taylor Greene does not have open primaries. So as long as she's popular among Republicans, she'll stay. But Boebert is going to really suffer.
Wait, we've got somebody popping in. Hi there. Do you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and comment? Hi.
Oh, hi. This is Charlene.
How are you doing?
Fine. I've never done this before. But anyway, I thought if Barney could do it, I could do it. But
there you go.
And he's in his truck doing it. So, but anyway, I just think everything Dave is saying is on target, especially with his people dying in the hospital.
Yeah.
I just want to know if there were any Republicans that voted against this bill, because every time
probably. We should ask that. Yeah.
When I always like to Facebook them or message them and ask them why, and offer a little resistance so that they won't do that again. But every time we come up with something that's even worse than the day before, it's like I just want to say, now what do we do?
Yes, yes.
What is the action plan? And things I think is important is developing parallel systems. Like our institutions are failing right now. You know, our healthcare, education, political, judicial, all of it is failing. So we need parallel systems. And, you know, that's homeschool teaching, that's home healthcare, where right. some of these functional medicine doctors actually go home and they do the IV treatments in the home. Just keep them out of the hospital and just focus on this. And it reminds me of Ayn Rand when she said, you know, people started dropping out because they could not stand the railroads they were working for. They were afraid that if they didn't pull the lever, they were going to be responsible for another train running into another train. Remember in Atlas Shrugged? Uh-huh. And that's kind of why we're dropping out. It's like they don't want to work in these systems that are so corrupt. And so, and I appreciate everyone fighting, but I just would like for us to say, okay, well, this is what we do about this. Right. And, you know, I'm just looking for more of those people that can say, okay,
here's my idea. I want to let you know here, just so you know, this is from Steven. Charlene has more video appeal than Barney. Sorry, Barney, just saying. And Steven says she is, Dr. Donna's like, she is prettier. There you go. There you go. So your debut is
photogenic review. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Charlene. Yeah. Karen Cataline says you're getting younger. So there you go.
Somebody wrote in that Hugh has a contender. And by that, I mean, I'm sure he means Hugh McCain, the minority leader of the
Austin
State
High.
House.
We're going to have him
on. And we're going to have him on just in time on
Friday. That's right.
So you'll get to hear from him.
And Charlene, one of the things we're doing, and Chuck will update us there too, there's a big fundraiser going on the opt-out primary. Remember, Chuck and his group of people, they pushed this. The Republican Party voted to go ahead and file a lawsuit.
We'll have a big announcement Friday.
Yeah, so there'll be a lot of stuff going on that. So, you know, it's can't solve everything, but you can take little chunks of little steps at a time. Oh, this is from Leo. The U.S. Marines and MIT published a study in August of 2020 that disproved all of the mandates. That's right. Yeah. Hey, guys, we're running out of time. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate Representative Williams and wish him the best in his campaign. And I want to thank Charlene for coming on so everybody could see her pretty face.
And Karen Cataline. And everybody calling in. We love when you guys call and when you have the comments going on there too. Everybody have a great day. It's Party Friday, Leo. So we will see you all. We have a guy, a historian, talking about how we need to learn lessons from history too. Stephen Powell is going to be on. And then Austin Hine, the conservative Republican, going to be challenging the Rhino Hugh McCain for here in Colorado. Yep, so we'll see you all on Friday.
Take care.